Good morning. Merry Christmas. Oh my goodness. Well, feel free to keep talking a little bit longer. Socialize. Jay, can you keep playing for a couple minutes? Just play us into the message a little bit longer. As I was preparing this message and really praying through this sermon series, throwback that we're in, looking at our past and our history intertwined with what God is doing with us now. He really placed on my heart to preach a very special and unique Christmas message. Something that's really different in the typical sense. We're not going to be talking about focusing on the birth of Christ right now, but we're going to really be talking about what God placed on my heart to speak through on this message. For those of you know, on Thursday nights throughout December, we get together and watch a movie and then talk about that movie and how it's intertwined in the message on Sunday morning. So this last Thursday night was Home Alone. Has anyone ever seen Home Alone? Has anyone not seen Home Alone? Have you really not? You're just kidding? Okay. Just kidding. So Home Alone. In looking at this movie and trying to break it apart for this Christmas message on this Sunday, I really looked at four characters in the movie. You have Kevin, who's the main child, and he really represents us. Internally, that's who we are in the movie. You have the robbers, which represents the enemy. And you have the old man. I couldn't remember his name. Old man something. And he represents God, in a sense. And then you have the family. There's multiple families portrayed in the movie, and they represent the world. And so, the message is really about, so what do you do when the enemy tries to steal, kill, or destroy what you hold dear? I know it's not really a typical Christmas message at all, but I think it's so prevalent because Jesus came to this earth to give us victory. He was born so that we would have a life more abundant. We'd have the opportunity to be adopted. There's so much more that plays into the Christmas season than I think we give credit for. Because God's at work. God's at work. I'm going to read this verse, and then after that we're going to pray, and then Jay can wrap up. Thank you so much, man. It sounds so melodical. Is that a word? That's not a word. That's a word. He's a teacher. He's a teacher. I'm going with it is. Matthew, melodious. Whoa. That's going in my word of the day. Melodious. Here's the main scripture of today. When God was speaking to me, he gave me this verse. Before I even had the title of the sermon series, I had this one verse to speak on for Christmas Day, and God led me to it, and then later on gave me why he led me to it. Matthew 7:7, you may have heard this quite a few times, but it says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. I love that verse. It's the same in most translations, but in the New Living, it's translated a little bit different, and I love it. Matthew 7:7 in the New Living Translation. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Lord, I pray that you would instill such a sweet spirit today, that you would move in such a mighty way. The hopes that we've given up on will be rekindled this season. Things that we have been believing for, that we prayed for in the past, would ignite and burn inside of us with such a fire to be believing for, God. that the gifts this Christmas wouldn't just be celebrating that it was your son given, but also the gifts of what we've been believing for years, because we have not given up. God, your word says, keep on. It's not a one-time ask. It's a keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, God, that we'd have this attitude this season. Things we've been believing for in our family members. Things we've been believing for in healing. Things that we've been just hoping for, God. It'd be out of our tenacity to keep on going after it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jay. That was wonderful. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. If you even look at the first three letters, A-S-K, ask. Ask, seek, knock. All three words are verbs, which means they require us to move to action. We have to ask, we have to seek, we have to knock. It's not something we just idly sit by and hope for, but it's something we move to do. So point number one today on our Christmas message is keep on asking. It says, ask and it'll be given to you. I did a Greek word study on this whole scripture, and each word I looked at the Greek, and something really interesting popped out behind the meanings of every single word. Do you know ask? It really pertains to asking for something in the will or a plan. Like if you were a soldier, you'd say to your commanding officer, listen, I need to go here, but I need this to get there. I need the transport to get to this place. Well, that's part of the will. That's part of the plan, so you get it. And the other thing that was really interesting in doing this word study on ask and it will be given to you, do you know this? It's a phrase in the Greek that means something really poignant and interesting. It means when you ask for something, you ask for what already belongs to you. That's what this word means in the definition. It's this concept of, hey, could you pass me my oven mitts? Yes, they're yours. It belongs to you. I'm just handing it to you because you're not able to reach it yourself right now. This word literally pertains to something that belongs to you. You own it. It's entitled to you, but you can't reach it yourself right now. So someone else has to intercede and come in and say, here you go. Doesn't that put a whole new spin on this? Ask for it. Ask for what belongs to you, and it will be given. Ask for what's in the will of God, and it will be given because it belongs to you. Ask. Ask. I wrote this in my notes. How many times do we pray, but we don't pray necessarily like this? We might sit around and pray like, God, why is this happening? What's going on? Can't you do something about this? But really, this verse is saying, ask in my will what already belongs to you. God's calling us to ask out of his will in what belongs to us. So what belongs to us? How do we know what is ours? How do we understand? How do we comprehend that? In the Bible, it says all these different promises that God has laid out. It's finding the promise that belongs to you. If it's in healing, God, how do I get healing? Well, let me look up what it says in Isaiah 58. And it's praying out of that, saying, God, you promised this. This is your promise. So that means it pertains to me, which means it belongs to me, and I'm asking out of that. This healing belongs to me, God. I need you to deliver this. FedEx it to me now. I need one day of shipping. Come on, God. And that's what it means. When you ask within God's will, he gives what already belongs to you. However, time is irrelevant to God. God doesn't exist within time. So sometimes it could be hard because we want it now, and he's going, well, it's not your time to receive it because it needs to work together in my perfect will. It's his will, even though it belongs to you. So you ask within his will, and it comes to you when he says, this is the time to receive it. It belongs to you. I'm just going to give it to you when you need it the most. All right, Luke 1:32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will, what's that word? Say it one more time. Give him the throne of his father David. He'll be great, talking about Jesus here. And he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's the concept here. Jesus owns the throne. The throne belongs to him. He's a son of God, and God's saying, I'm going to give him the throne that it's coming down from David. It belongs to him. The throne of all of eternity belongs to Jesus, but he doesn't get it yet. It's in the will of God. He will get it. It belongs to him, and he asks for it. Does that make sense? There's an order to this. The throne of grace, the throne of God belongs to Jesus. He doesn't get it as a one-year-old. He doesn't get it as a two-year-old. He doesn't get it as a three-year-old. In fact, he doesn't get it for quite some years. And I even think it's kind of interesting when Jesus himself, who is God and fully God and fully man, sitting on earth, and he says, God, could you make this pass from me? But if it's in your will, not my will. Even Jesus was dealing with the same things we deal with. It's like, come on, me. When is this going to happen? I just think it's funny. Jesus got to experience time like we experience time. God got experience. He put himself in time to experience time. And even then, at that moment, said, when is this going to happen? It's just pastor humor. It's funny to me. Thanks for the chuckle there. Damn it. And so, I wrote down three ways to help you keep asking. Three ways to help you not give up. Three ways to keep you going forward, even when you don't see an end in sight. Three ways. Keep asking because it's yours. Keep asking because it's yours. Be like that annoying kid in Home Alone, you know, where they're like the two vans are like getting packed, and one kid's like, what kind of car is this? Is this a V8? Does it go 95? Can you get up to the freeway? Are you going to the mall? You know, it's just like a million questions a moment. We all know some kid like that, right? We all know some kid like that. That's what God's calling. Keep asking because it's yours. All right, second one. Ask God. Keep asking God because he wants you to have it. It's in his will for you to have it. He's promised it to you. Keep asking. It's yours. And C. 1, 2, and C. Just make sure you're awake. Keep asking often because you don't know the timing. Don't give up. Ask. Kevin, in the movie Home Alone, asked the old man in the church what he should do. You know, some people don't like to ask God because of pride. What's keeping you from it? What's keeping you from keeping asking God? Are you frustrated because it just hasn't happened? Are you just angry with God at this moment because you asked him for something so long ago, and because he's not a genie, didn't grant it, you're frustrated with him? I'm trying to make light of it. I'm trying to make it silly, because if it moves out of anger and hatred into silliness, it might rekindle a fire for you to keep asking. I'm like that circus animal that just keeps poking at something to get the animal. Okay, that's just my illustration in my mind of what I'm trying to do right now. So, what do you ask for? How do you ask God not like he's Santa Claus, but like he's the God of the universe. How do you ask God? Like, how do you pray? I think that's something we don't really talk about on Sunday mornings too often. Something we don't learn about. We don't sometimes don't understand. So, how do you pray? Good way to pray is, God, I'm in this situation and I need strength right now. Your word says you'll give me strength to endure. God, I'm here right now and I need comfort. Your name is Comforter. So, and am I not entitled to you comforting me? God, I need peace right now because my life is in turmoil. Are you not named the Prince of Peace? And if I am entered into your kingdom, does that mean your kingdom is made of peace? Where is this peace for me, God? That is your promise. That's an illustration. That's how you pray. God, here's my promise. You've promised it to me. I need this. Listen, I'm guilty of it. Don't pray like, God, this is so frustrating. Can you just tell me why? God, this is so hard. I don't know what's going on. You pray out of promises. That's how you pray. And all of a sudden you'll start to feel this weird peace that will come over you, this weird comfort. There's been times in my life where I've had to decide, okay, am I shifting my entire life to make this one choice? When I was in Oregon moving to California, and I was just in this turmoil of, do I give up everything in this move? God, I feel you're calling me to be a pastor. Do I just jump in my car and do it? Well, what happens? And I was just filled with so much uneasiness and frustration. And then I did a missions trip in California, and I got off the plane and I started walking by palm trees, and I got in the car and I was driving past palm, and I just, there's something about these palm trees, and I kept staring at them, and I just had this like supernatural peace come over me, and I felt so comfortable. And all of a sudden I was like, I haven't felt at peace like this in a long time, God. I was like, I got to do everything I can in my power to get out here to chase after the peace you have for me. That's what you do. That's how you do it. All right, number two. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. I love this. I love this word. I told my wife about this word. In the Greek, seek. The definition is looking with the intent of finding because you know it's there. It's the idea of if you lose your keys in your home, you're looking because you know you lost it there. I thought Martin just looked at it. You were like, where's my keys? You totally just did that, right? That was awesome. I brought up keys and he was like, that was so cool. So timed. You're looking because you know you're going to find it. So when this verse says, seek and you'll find it, you're looking for something that you know is there. You're seeking because you know there's absolute resolution. You know that you're going to find it. You know that God's going to show up. You know that it's going to happen. Why? Because there's faith behind it. When you're praying for God, for seeking after something, is there faith behind it? You know that it's going to happen? That I need this to happen to my family. It's not a wish to a genie. It's, God, I believe this is you're going to change my family. I believe it. I believe it. There's, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's there. It's funny. I was thinking about this. I don't think I've ever, like, looked for lost keys in my house of, like, some random neighbor who's never been to my house. Does that make sense? Like, I don't go around and be like, man, I'm going to look for some keys of someone else's that they might just show up and I'll get a new car out of this. You know, I'm not looking behind the couch and saying, oh, there might be some Lamborghini keys here. You know, that doesn't typically happen, right? The question is, are you seeking after what belongs to you? Or are you seeking after something that doesn't belong to you? And then the flip side is, I have looked for keys of someone who I love dearly who've lost them. saying, oh, I lost my car keys. Can you help me look? Absolutely. That's the same as prayer. Oh, I'm going through this situation. Can you pray with me? Absolutely. Let's find this out together. If someone comes to your house and they lose their car keys in your house, you look for them with them, right? Right? That's what happens. Or else you're just mean. I hope you don't find your keys. You look with someone. It's the same as prayer. You look and seek for what they've lost or you've lost because you know you're going to find it. Oh, that's right. This is cool. I'm just catching up on my notes. You ever hate like you start going through something and then you like get excited and then you jump ahead or something? Okay. just me? All right, that's fine. Seek and you'll find it. Seek and you'll find it. Seek and you'll find it. How many people know that feeling of finding something you've been looking for a while? There is nothing like it. There is nothing like that feeling, like you find it. And I remember this one time, I got blamed in our household by someone. Oh, do you remember this story? It's so good, you haven't even heard it yet. So we have a spare set of keys. We have, you know, most cars have two sets of keys for a car. And I lost the one set of keys for a year in our household. A year. And so it's been gone, and it's like, we can't lose this. This is the last set. You lost it already. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't know where I put it. And so it's going on for like a year. It goes by. Well, then we're going to, I think, a youth camp, right? We're going to the winter youth camp. And Patty's like, okay, well, let me get my snow jacket. And so she gets her snow jacket out of the closet that has been used in a year. Puts it on, puts her hands in the pocket, and I'm in the room. So she You know what, babe? I'm really sorry. It was in my pocket the whole time. That was it! I was expecting a little more like enthusiasm. Maybe like a special meal or something. Being blamed for a year on these keys. I love the word. I'm transitioning out of it. So but in all fairness, I lose 99% of the time. I do lose the keys. 99% of the time, I lose everything in the house. So, but it was my one time. My wife's trying to hit at something right now that I lost, but we're not going to go there. So, so I love this. Shh. Okay, second wedding band is still on the missing. Second wedding band is still, we're still looking for it. So, a few stories. Wasn't I with you when I got my second band? Star Wars, man. My second wedding band was a Star Wars wedding band. I lost the Star, and I know right before Star Wars in a movie. The force was not with me, thanks. Okay, before we derail too far, Matthew 1:18. Oh my goodness, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was what? Found. Say it again. Found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This word found it blows my mind in this verse. Not in this one, the one we're reading. Seek and you'll find it. Seek and you'll find it. The word found simply means that when you seek, you're expecting to find it. Seek because you have an expectation behind it. Seek because it's there and you will receive it and you'll get it and you'll find it. That's what this word means. And I love this. How many, you know, when you're pregnant, for you women, not so much men, when you're pregnant, do you know instantly they're pregnant? Do you just go around trying birth sticks? What, I don't remember what they're called. Pregnancy sticks. I couldn't think of the word. Pregnancy tests. Do you go around testing pregnancy tests every single day because you're expecting to be pregnant? Or, most women actually find out about halfway through. Do you know that? Because they're not some a little bit less, sometimes more. Sometimes they go 8 months before they know. 7 months. It's, do you know why? Because there's no expectancy. It just happens, and then you're like, oh, I'm pregnant. This verse says you will find it through expectancy in seeking after it. What does that translate to us today? God's at work in your life, but you might not see it because you're not expecting it and you're not looking for it. You're expecting a baby. You're going to get a baby, but the whole pregnancy, the 9 months, is God working it out. And you might be somewhere in there. You can't see it. You don't got it yet. But you can find God at work in it right now. Because you're seeking for it and you're expecting it because it belongs to you. This verse blows my mind. If you look, you will find where God's at work. All right. I got a few points on how to find what you're looking for. Three steps to finding something that's lost. I'm probably the worst person to give these 3 points. But they hold up as true, says Wikipedia. How to find what you're looking for. Number one, look in the last place you had it. These are, I'm telling you, they're practical points. But they translate so well as profoundly deep spiritual points. Look in the last place you had it. Wait. You just, the finger? Well, it's not there. ready? Here's my translation of this point. We've got a lively church today. If you heard the voice of God and haven't heard in a while, oh, it just got real. What were you doing back then? What were you working on? What was your daily routine? What were you surrounded by? If you used to hear the voice of God, if you used to be in depth in worship, if you used to love opening up your Bible daily, but you lost it, look in the last place you lost it. What was your lifestyle back then when you were actively hearing the voice of God? You didn't know I could. You weren't expecting that to switch like that. I love it. Number two. Out of how to find what you're looking for. Wikipedia says, ask someone you trust to look with you. It's true. If you're looking for something valuable, only bring trustworthy people with you. If someone's around you and you don't trust them, people can take what doesn't belong with them and share it with people that shouldn't get it. That's okay. You'll remember this message. You just remember where something was lost. Well, that's why this point is true. You couldn't. I did not pay her to say that. Take someone you trust. Take someone you trust. How does this translate? When you're praying, are you taking someone you trust with you to prayer? to battle? Or are they just sharing all your gossip and your dirty laundry with everyone? That's what it comes down to. Are you taking someone you trust to search for something that's so dear and so precious to your heart? That makes the difference in prayer. Will they help you seek after it, or are they more consumed with what they're into right now? Have you ever asked someone to help you find something that they don't really care? No, really. That's like a practical thing. Like, you're in your house and you're like, man, I lost this. Can you just help me? And they're like, nah, bro, I don't see it. You know? You want someone to pray for you like you're praying for you. Right? I don't want someone to do this kind of prayer. Okay. If I have something that I'm going through, some turmoil, I go to my prayer warriors. I go to people that I can trust. I go to people that I can confide in. I go to people that I need help in who are going to tear my house apart praying. Right? Go to someone you trust. And number three. I love these points. Wikipedia laid them out so nicely for me. Ready? Backtrack your steps. So true. Backtrack your steps. Backtrack your steps. If you are out of alignment with God at this moment, it's better to find where you're at by backtracking where you've been to keep moving forward. I spoke on this the Sunday after Ollie was born. Do you remember when I had the giant ladder in here? And I was like climbing to the top, and everyone's like, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. We got the tallest one in here. And I was explaining, relationship with God is not climbing up and down. Oh, I'm doing really good. Not so good today. Oh, okay, I'm doing okay. It's the relationship with God is not a ladder you climb to, but it's actually you fold it together and lay it down, and it's tracks you walk with him. You keep moving forward. You don't just get stuck in life. You move forward with God. So if you get out of alignment, you step out of the tracks and you start going over here, backtrack your steps to move forward with God. All right, number three. Number three. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. I'm so excited. This whole message is going to come together with Home Alone and Jesus and the birth of Christ and everything, because I love how this comes together. Knock. The definition in the Greek of knock. This blows my mind. The definition of knock in the Greek literally says forcefully using your knuckles to create sound. Okay. And you know where that comes from? It actually has a root meaning. It comes when this, I love this. It says, when a soldier was marching into battle, it was the sound of knuckles on a drum or a shield to create sound, to keep everyone in alignment, marching forward to take on the enemy together. Whew. That's where knocking comes from. Is that wild? We're all in this together. We're moving forward because the enemy does not belong here anymore. And because we knock together, we will move together. Knock. Knock. That's where it comes from. I wrote down ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. They're all different actions. Asking is what comes out of you. Seeking is what goes into you. And knocking is what comes out of when you bang against your opposition. The wall that's in front of you is what comes out. It's you mixed with your situation is what comes out of it. That's knocking. Literally, you go up to a door and you bang on it. It's what comes out of you and your opposition. So, I want you to think about this. Knocking. When God calls us to knock and it'll be opened in front of us, He's really calling us to say, what you do in your situation determines if it will be open to you or not. Your immediate actions, the thing of how you bang against your situation, determines if it's going to open or not. God's calling us to knock and it'll be open to us. Knock and it'll be open. So what's my action? Because most people's action is this. I'm just going to, and if you're in this room and this is your action, I don't mean to single you out. But let's say this is my obstacle. This is my situation. It's my barrier to move forward. I can't get past it. I can't see past it. This is what most people do in life. Oh, man. Not joking. You walk up to a barrier, get stopped by it, and go, oh, there's a barrier. Okay. But the Bible says, no, it's about walking up to it and knocking against it, coming against what's in front of you. Saying, I am taking a stance to march together because the enemy is there, I'm here, and we're going to move forward together. That's knocking. It's what comes out of you when you bang against your situation. It's not when you walk up to a door and then walk away. It's banging on the door till it opens. I remember in high school, I had this one friend. He wasn't a Christian. And we were going to his house. It was a Friday night. And we were going to go hang out, do whatever. And we were nerds, so let's probably go see a movie or something. And like go hang out at a friend's house and talk about the movie. And so we go to his house. And he's like, dude, we'll just carpool in my car. And then leave your car here, and we'll come back, and you can just go home afterwards. I was like, great, great idea. So he's like, just leave the keys with my mom, because if she needs to move the car out of the driveway so she can get out, she can. I'm like, great. So I leave the car, we go there, we're hanging out, and then his mom calls him and says, hey, you have to come home. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go home yet. I want to keep hanging out. So he leaves, and my other friend's like, I'll just drop you off at so-and-so's house. I was like, works out great. I know the story's like getting super complicated. It doesn't need to be. So anyways, he leaves, and now I have no way to get to my car unless I go back to his house and get my keys from his mom. So we hang out super late. My friend drops me off. He leaves, and I go up to his house, and I'm like, all the lights are off, and my keys are in the house. So I go up, and I'm just like, this is me, like, hello. Like, I'm like hoping he wakes up. They have a three-story house, and he's in the basement. Like, there is 15 doors to get to his room, and they're all closed. Like, he's not going to hear this. So then I start escalating a little bit louder, and this is in Oregon. So temperature is usually below freezing at this time. And I have my little tiny hoodie on, and I'm like, it's so cold. Let me in. And I start. So then it gets to the point where I'm standing there, and I'm like, what do I just give up? Like, I'm looking around their house. Like, can I sleep in this bush? Can I sleep in this bush? My family's not going to come get me. It's too late. They're 35 minutes away from this house. So I'm like, can I sleep here? They have a little tiny bench, but I'll just curl up in a ball. And I'm like, no, I'm going to freeze to death out here. So then I finally make the resolution. I'm going to keep banging on this door till someone opens it. And I just start doing like this thing on the door as hard as I can, over and over and over. So they did open the door. 30 minutes after I'm banging on this door, my hand is hurting, and I went to my shoe for a little while, and I go, just to give my hand a break, and they finally open it, and it's his mom. She is not the most pleasant woman on the earth. And she's like, what do you want? And I was like, I just need my keys to drive away. I didn't want to sleep in your bush. And I'm like crying. She's like, get your keys and head out. And I was like, thank you. Get my keys and head out, hop in my car. And I'm just freezing. The heat's on blast. And we're driving away. There's no music going on. And I remember, in my mind, I was just like, I said one of those like quick prayers, like, God, why does this always happen? I know why happened, because I should have just parked on the street instead of in the driveway. But I'm pulling away, and I remember just seeing an image of their door, and it wasn't me knocking, it was Jesus knocking. And he's like, you knock for 30 minutes. I've been knocking for 30 years. And I was like, I just started crying. I was like, okay, God, I'm so sorry. I'll talk to him more about Jesus. And I remember it was just one of those moments. That image of, are we knocking? Are we coming to our situation and saying, I'm not giving up till it happens. I'm not giving up till it moves. I'm not giving up till I plow through it. Or is it, oh, life is so hard. I'm giving up. There's an obstacle here. It's over. I can't move it. But God's calling us to knock. Matthew 2:11. It's going to be on the screen. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they, what? Opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I love that they used the exact same word here. I love it. Because the history of the wise men is they faced severe obstacles getting to Jesus. They had to believe that if they walked towards a star, they would find the Savior of the human race. That's an obstacle. That is a major obstacle. They had to talk to and escape someone who wanted to kill Jesus and in turn them. That's an obstacle. They kept moving forward. And they finally get to the moment where it's opened and the treasure's within. You have an obstacle that you may have passed or you might be facing right now. But if you keep knocking, you keep facing it, it'll open and the treasures are just beyond it. I love that idea. It's just beyond. It's just beyond. I didn't know if I was going to share this verse, but I think I am. Yeah, I'll share in a little bit. So Matthew 7:7, recapping it. Keep on asking and you receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. You know what my favorite part about Home Alone is? Favorite, absolute, the clincher, the best part of the movie for me. The thing that like gets me to tear up every single time. The best part of the movie just to me is when the old guy at the very end of the film, hugs his family. That's the best part of the movie. To me, absolute best part. And if you look at the main characters in the sense of us in the world, Kevin's us, the old guy is God, and the old guy's family is the world. See, God gives us the opportunity to be saved by him, but he puts in our hands the ability to reconcile the world to him. Wow. The old guy could do nothing until Kevin reconciled the family to him. God's waiting on us to reconcile people in our lives, our community, to him. I love that aspect of the movie and how it relates to us today. So wonderful. We have the ability to call on Jesus for help, but also to reconcile Jesus to our loved ones. We wield this authority. We have the ability and power to make the change in our lives and be the change in someone else's life. You have that authority. All right, here's what I'm going to do. That's the end of the message, but I want to share a verse. And then I want us to reflect today. We're going to have a worship song in just a moment, but I want us to just silently reflect during that. What is God calling us to keep praying for? What is God calling us to keep on moving forward? What are some obstacles that we need to keep knocking when in reality we've walked away from? So here's the verse I want to share. This is going to be a sermon this next year, but this is on my heart to share it today. 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 20. You get this up?
Yes.
There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines, who are the enemy, wouldn't allow them for fear they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, their picks, their axes, or sickles, they had to take them to a Philistine blacksmith. All right, here's what's going on here. The Israelites, who are God's people, are sitting in a land and there's no blacksmiths. No one to make any items for war. They can't fight. They can't do anything. They can make like a stick, a pointy stick, and that's about it. And the enemy has swords and chariots and horses and everything. They don't stand a chance. However, the Philistines say, hey, we're good guys. You want to farm? We'll sharpen your equipment. We'll give you farming equipment. You can farm all you want. But you can't fight. But you can farm. You can plant seeds. You can watch it grow. You can live your life how you want. But don't you fight. Or else we're going to come after you. You want to plant a seed and survive? You can survive, but we don't want you to thrive. You can just be there. And here's the takeaway. The enemy doesn't mind if we're farmers. They don't mind if we plant seeds. They don't mind if we have takeaways. They don't mind if we live and all that. And the enemy doesn't really come after us. The moment that we stand up and fight, the enemy's angry. Because he just wants to take us down with him. What practically, what does that look like? The enemy doesn't mind us just showing up to church on Sunday and getting a seed, getting a plant. The enemy doesn't mind showing up to worship and singing along and go, oh, it's so good. The enemy really doesn't mind. But the moment we use the word of God as a sword, oh, watch out. The enemy doesn't like that. The moment we use our praise as a weapon, saying, in battle, I'm going to stand. I'm going to praise your name no matter what. It means like, stop that. Let me distract you with some other stuff. I don't want you to rise up. I don't want you to be empowered. I want you to just kind of do routine. Don't stand up for yourself. Don't cry out to God. Don't use this as a weapon to move forward in life. Does that make sense? I want to encourage you. Utilize what God has given you. No barrier can stand before you with the power of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing is truly lost in your life if you're expecting to find it. Because God has that for you. So, Nakia, would you come forward and lead us out into worship? But I want to encourage you, this is not a time to worship. This is not a time to just sing the song. This moment right now is to reflect on, God, how do I move forward? God, what are you speaking to me about? God, how do I ask properly? What do I need to be praying for? What do I need to be wielding as a weapon to move forward in this life? What, God, what are you calling me to? What is the obstacle that I can overcome because I'm knocking against it? So would you close your eyes right now and just reflect on that?
Thank you, Lord. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. that mourns in lonely exile, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Thank you, Lord. God, our rejoicing and our praise does not come after the breakthrough. It comes simply because you gave your Son, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, to come in. Lord, allow our praise to be a weapon that will come against any barrier, any obstacle, and move us forward in this season. Lord, allow us to be able to make the change in our life that's so needed to move to where you're calling us to. Furthermore, allow us to be the change for those around us to come to know you. And it all starts with praising you because you're you. Praising you because you came and given us the authority to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sterling is going to come on up in just a moment for tithes and offering, but I want to encourage you. We have some announcements in just a moment, but with our Christmas tree, for those of you who know, don't know, what we're doing is it's 100% decorated by ornaments that you have filled out. Each ornament represents a loved one or someone you're praying for or someone that you desire so much so to come to know Jesus, to love Jesus, to move forward with Christ. Maybe they're not saved, maybe they are, maybe they're just lost. But this week, I want to challenge you. The person you wrote on here, be interceding for, be praying for. If it's for them to know Christ or come to church or something, would you step out into that faithfully? Say, God, I've asked for 20 years and they've said no every time, but what if it's this time? Keep knocking. Maybe you haven't filled out one for someone and God's placing someone in your heart. We still have ornaments. We still have markers. Come on up after service and put it on. Say, I'm believing that too. Me too. I got someone. They need Jesus like I need Jesus. Amen.